Brother Danny. Appreciate that song. That good morning again, and greetings in the name of Christ. 4 weeks into Easter. We got 4 weeks to get ready to Easter. There are 5 Sundays in this month, and then Easter coming up in April. And we want to be at our best for Easter Sunday, amen? We can put the winter behind us and all the, hopefully the flu and the COVID and the brutal weather and all, and start off Easter Sunday praising God. What a day it'll be for us. Let's look forward to Easter. This past week, I had the privilege, I got called back to Blues Chapel to do a funeral for Sister Jewel Hayes. And I was her pastor during the 90s, down there, part of the 80s and 90s, Brother Thurman and Jewel Hayes. And I thought what I'm going to share for her service would be her long and consistent life for Christ. And I didn't really know it, but when I got there, the church clerk shared with me, he said, I looked up and she's been a member for 80 years. 80 years. And so that went right along with what I tried to share. Consistent and long life that God had blessed her with, and what a testimony and what an example that is to the church there, her family, and to all of us. You know, she joined the church when she was 16 years old and was a faithful minister. And by the way, she kept up and watched our Facebook right up until the very end. The last few weeks she got to where she wasn't able to, but she was one of them who watched our Sunday Facebooks and Wednesdays and all of that stuff. So, wonderful people. I've been privileged to meet a lot of good people, and Brother Thurman and Jewel were two of them. If you turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25, I want to share with you today what God has laid on our hearts, hopefully. It is a parable found in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. Now, this is a parable about stewardship. It's a parable about decision making. Reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods, and said unto one, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several abilities, and straightway took his journey. Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received the 2 also gained other 2. But he that had received the 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. That's what we want to hear, ain't it? He also that had received the 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 others besides them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And then he which received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed, and I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathereth where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him that hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall it be given, and he that hath in abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse number 25, I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, thou hast that as thine. And this tells the whole of the story here in this one verse. And this is a sad commentary about a man's life who was really paralyzed by fear. You think about it. I was afraid. And he's saying, I was afraid. He was saying, I was paralyzed by fear and couldn't make a decision as to what to do. And I feared, this fear caused me to do nothing, is what it caused him to do. What did he do? He went and dug a hole and buried it and done nothing. It's a story about poor stewardship. It's a story about a man who was afraid to make a decision. He couldn't make any decision because he was paralyzed by fear. The devil uses fear to paralyze God's people. He will come at you with fear to paralyze you, to keep you from doing anything. He'd be pleased that you dig a hole and do nothing. You know, and use as an excuse, I was afraid and I done nothing with my life. I have nothing to answer for my stewardship here because I was afraid. But the end of the story is that wasn't an excuse. You ought to. You know, there are things that we ought to do. And Paul prayed in one of the church's letters and said that I be able to speak the gospel or the truth as I ought to speak or preach. And we ought to do something. The subject is paralyzed by fear. You know, we're locked in, we're paralyzed by it, and we can't do anything. Don't get anything done. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this gathering of your people today. Thank you for your word. We pray the Holy Spirit speak to us all. We pray for the equipping of the saints, for the sanctification of the church and its poor pastor here today. I pray that the gospel be shared to the lost and the Holy Spirit would bring them to conviction and lead them in repentance and faith here today. I pray for the sick of our church, dear Lord, those Sister Pam for her surgery tomorrow, for Miss Sue Hollinsworth, for Brother Jim, for all who are going through illnesses. Lord, we pray that you would bring them through that, and we pray for your healing. And Lord, we pray for the healing of the nations today. Lord, heal our own nation, we pray. Get honor and glory, dear Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. I was afraid. Okay, the scripture, Jesus tells a parable here, and it is about stewardship. It is about being paralyzed by fear, unable to do anything. And let's look a little closer at this parable here. He says, he delivered unto them his goods. Jesus has given us talents and abilities, and he knows what we are capable of. He gave, you know, everyone, he delivered unto them his goods. One, he gave five, one, two, one to every man according to his several abilities. God does not expect us to do more than we're capable of doing. You know, he doesn't put more upon it. Well, I can't do this. Do your best. Do your best at it. Well, I can't do it. You know, I'm afraid or whatever. And then there's some people who are jealous and resent that other people have been given more talents and skills maybe. Hey, don't worry about the other. You know, the risen Lord told Peter, don't worry so much about John. You know, you just follow me, you know. And so if we would just do and use the things that God has given us to the best of our ability, and then that's what's required of us, our own stewardship. He delivered them. And it says, after a while, after a long while, there is an accounting. You know, we believe the Bible teaches from Genesis through Revelation that we are what? Judgment-bound people. That there is a day of accounting, you know, and sometimes it takes a while here. But after a long time, verse 19, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoning with them. And for some of us, it might not be very long. But either way, one of these days, we will stand before the judgment, you know. And it's an appointment that we have. We have two appointments, actually. You know, the people say you're appointed to pay taxes and death. It's really not correct. The two appointments we have is death. It's the appointment we have, and after this, the judgment, you know. So one of these days, there will be a day of reckoning. And for those who are lost, you know, it won't be good. The outcome will certainly not be good. Even for the saved, we will be called to task and judged about our stewardship. What have we done with our lives? Have we wasted our life? The older we get, we really realize how precious time is and how quickly it's going. And I had that funeral this week, and they said at Blues Chapel, this is the first church funeral we've had in 20 years of that church, for a couple of reasons. They had built a bigger funeral home, and a lot of people were taking advantage of that. But I remember back in the days, my ministry there, oh, so many funerals we had, and all those people we buried down there, men of God. There was Brother Thurman Hayes, Brother Ed Epperson, Brother Ray McCartney, Brother Carlos Arnold, a whole slate. Only one deacon left of the seven that I was there, and a couple who come in and died. So the whole face of the church has changed, and you think how quickly life is fleeting. We realize the older we get that life is precious, and we don't want to look back with regrets. You know, hopefully when our time comes, we can be at peace with the Lord and say, well, I done what I could. I didn't go and dig a hole and do nothing. You know, maybe everything that I tried didn't work out, but I tried. I gave it my best. I done to the best of my ability. Remember, we're not accountable for more than what we're able to do in the eyes of the Lord, and He's a better judge of that than we are. But to do nothing is not good stewardship. Paralyzed by fear. I knew thee that thou art a hard man. You know, I there's all kind of excuses that we can come up with that would cause us not to do things that we ought to be doing for the Lord. That would cause us simply just to exist. God didn't save you just to exist. You have a purpose. Now, one of the reasons for joining the church and supporting the church is that we come there to discover our purpose in Christ. Too many people in our culture, they are just walking around with no purpose in life. Don't have a clue. No direction for their life. Just whatever comes, goes. And what a shame it is. Old commercials, you know, those tunes and things stick in your mind. There used to be one. It was called the United Negro College Fund. Boy, this goes back in the days. And the theme of that was, and it said, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. It was trying to encourage black people to go and support their colleges. And you think about our life. God has given us the gift of life, and to have wasted it, it has not brought any glory to God. We have not done anything. He has not asked us to move the world, but He has asked us to impact our corner of this earth, to be a light and to help alleviate some of the suffering, to encourage somebody somewhere. But to have to stand before the judgment of Christ, what have you done with your life since I saved you? He already know, by the way. But to be there paralyzed by fear like this man. The others, you know, they took some chances. The man that had the five, he took some chances. He had to make some decision. You know what you can do? Invest in money. You can lose it. If you don't invest wisely, you very well can lose it. And a lot of people do. You know, you hear all the time about people who are getting swindled. I saw a church the other day where they had their finances swindled. Did any of you see that? Internet hacked in somehow or another, somebody from China or somewhere, and hacked their funds, and they lost a lot of money. You have to be careful, you know, out there. This man was willing to take some chances and to use his good judgment as God had given him what we call sanctified common sense. You know, he was willing to make some hard chances here, but it paid off. God blessed him and it prospered, and he gained five more talents because he wasn't afraid to take some chances. The man with two. Two to him was important to him. He took some chances. Whatever he done, it doubled, and he made two more. And these two men turned out to be good stewards. They'd done something, and they weren't reckless. There's there's a thin line sometime between being a good steward and being reckless. And the Bible doesn't teach us to be reckless. It teaches us that as the children of God, we can have sanctified common sense, and we can make some good decisions prayerfully and step out on faith and make some decisions, and all decisions are not easily. We don't like to make decisions. But I'm going to tell you, if you don't make them, they'll be made for you one day. I don't know if you've read, but this week they released a poll that 35% of the American people are in favor of socialism. Did you see that? 35%, and it's growing. The largest city in our nation has elected a socialist mayor who is a Muslim. You know, we see a turn. What is it that people like about socialism? Well, one reason, you don't have to make any decision. The government makes it for you. And a lot of the younger people say, well, maybe that's what we like. It takes us out of having to make decisions and all this, and it'll be done for us. Until you lose those privileges, and then we'll be sick. But that is the pull of that. It promises prosperity without having to worry, make tough decisions. Everybody's the same. It's given to you and all this. The government's going to do all this for you. It's going to take all the worry away from you making these tough decisions. Think again. If we don't make some tough decisions, they will be made for us. I assure you that. But we don't have to be paralyzed by fear. I don't like making tough decisions. And I've had to make a few the last year or two in my life. So if you don't like to make tough decisions, welcome to the club. These two men who invested and had good stewardship, that they probably didn't like to have to make some tough decisions. There's a risk. I might lose my Lord's talent here that he has given me. I got to take some chances here, but he has entrusted me, and he felt like that I could handle this. I will not be reckless. I will prayerfully make these decisions and do the best of my ability. That's what he's asked us to do, no more or no less. The best that we can do. He knows what we can do and do that, and it paid off for them. But they had to make some tough decisions there too. There's a scripture in the book of Joel that says there's multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decisions, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decisions. And that's the way life is. You know, we're in the valley of decisions, and we have to make decisions. You know, you read up, you study up, you do the best you try to inform yourselves, and then sooner or later you have to make the call, or worse, make no call. It's too tough a decision. We can put them off for a while, but sooner or later they have to be dealt with. We have to make some decisions, or else we're going to dig a hole and put them in there and do nothing. In the valley of decisions, our life is full of hard decisions. You know, sometimes within the church, we have to make some tough decisions. We've had to have, in Board of Deacons meetings, we've had to make a few tough decisions. Not too many, but some we've had to do. You know, you pray about it, you study the scripture, you follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and you do the best you can. That's what God expects out of us. And we can make some decisions. So There is a multitude of people in our country today that is paralyzed by the fear of making decisions. And in not making any, you're doing nothing. You're forcing, really, somebody else to make decisions for you. And a lot of people are good with that. But that's not what God has called us to be, for allowing other people to make all the decisions for us. He wants us to grow. We want to see our kids and grandkids grow up, and they have to make some decisions. You know, we can encourage them, point them in the right way, but they have to make some decisions. And if those decisions have been made for them, they'll finally get to where they're comfortable with that. And they can spend their life expecting others to make decisions for them. And there are people that'll make those decisions for you. Listen, make your own decisions in as much as possible. Rely upon the knowledge of others. That's good. But at some point, if you're going to make a mistake, and let it be yours, you know. I have done the best of my ability, and we're all going to make mistakes from time to time. And when we fail, you know, that can call, well, I'm afraid to try again. I tried once, and I failed. And so I'm like the bad steward here. I was afraid, and I did nothing. The Bible is full of heroes. All of those men failed at times, but you got to get up and try again. You know, the great heroes of the Bible, they all had failures. There's only one who had no failures, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. He was perfect. He never failed at anything. Amen? Others fail. Moses. You know, one critical mistake there, a couple maybe, but killing the Egyptian, but he struck the rock. You know, God said, this time just speak to the rock and it'll give water. And in front of all the people, he took and he struck the rock. It gave water. But God said, there was a little bit of something in you that wanted the glory of that. And you wanted people to see you strike that rock. And you disobeyed me. And for that cause, you will not get to go into the land of promise. Wow. Tough consequences there. But Moses gets up and he goes on, you know, and he leads the people to the Jordan River, and he gets to look over Mount Pisgah and see the land. But he don't get to go. But he got to see it. He got to see it. He had failures. David fell miserably more than one time. But David recovered. He gets up and he goes on. Fear. In the book of Judges, you know, you have Gideon, and God has called him to be a judge to deliver God's people from the Midianites. And he starts out with something like 22,000 men, and God said, that's too many. And the first reckoning to dwindle the army down was, he said, go out there and tell all of them that are afraid, they're dismissed. 12,000 of them said, okay, we'll go home. God said, we don't need those who are paralyzed by fear to fight this battle. So get rid of the ones that are afraid up front. They ain't going to be any use anyhow. They will be paralyzed and actually cause more harm than good in the battle. Fear. We're not going to accomplish anything in God's kingdom if we are fearful and scared to death all the time. We should fear God. You know, that's what we are to fear. Jesus said, fear him who's able to destroy both body and soul in hell. That's who we should fear. The fearful. Fearful to make decisions. Avoid. You can avoid. There are things that God calls us to do. and we can put them off. Now, I've heard of other preachers who said they had run for years, and it wasn't like that with me. And, you know, everybody's different, but when it come to me, there was nothing to run from. You either do it or else. But sooner or later, you got to make a decision. You know, we either going to follow the Lord, or you can only bury it so long, and it comes up. I've heard my dad told a story of a man who died. This was way back in the 60s. And he told him when he was dying, "I was called to preach when I was a young man. And he didn't do it." I don't know his reasons. Maybe he was paralyzed by fear. But what a shame. When our life is about over, to look back and to say, you know, God called me to do this or that, and I dug a hole and buried it. I tried to put it away, but it come back up on his deathbed. He had to be confronted with it. He had to confess it before he died. Lived a lifetime with that buried in a hole. So he thought, but it come back out. What a shame. You know, what could have been? You know, we can only imagine if he hadn't been afraid or whatever kept him, if he would have followed the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But he was paralyzed by fear. Don't be paralyzed. The devil wants you to be paralyzed with fear. So essentially, you'll do nothing. He don't want you to be saved to start with, but if you are saved, he'll be halfway satisfied if you don't do nothing. You don't use the gifts that God has given you. You don't ever even discover your purpose in Christ. See, as a Christian, we have a purpose. We are saved for purpose. We are purposeful. God does things with a purpose. He don't just save us. Okay, you're saved. You're good for life. Don't do nothing. Just show up on the judgment day and go to heaven. But he wants us to have a purpose in the body of Christ. We need to discover that. And we can if we will get hooked up in church, study the Word of God, pray about it. People say, "Oh, I don't have a clue what I'm supposed to be doing." God is not trying to hide that as a secret to you, believe me. Follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit and you will be directed. I've seen a lot of people struggle and try this and that and that until they finally get hooked up and discover what their purpose is. Sometimes we can get off a little bit, but God has a purpose for us. And we have an adversary who wants to hinder you from discovering that purpose. And if you do, he wants to discourage you and wants you to give it up and quit and not fulfill your purpose in Christ, to bury it in a hole and to do nothing. Stop you from accomplishing your purpose in Christ. That is his business. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, "Let a man so account us as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." So maybe we're not all preachers. Maybe we're not all called to be preachers, deacons, Sunday school teachers. But we all, I think it was Spurgeon, it said, "It's the business of the whole church to preach the whole gospel." We all have a part in it. We're all stewards of the mysteries of God. "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Faithfulness. The two, faithful. They get the nod. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. Did you notice that? Actually, God has just called us to be faithful over just a few things. We have not turned the world upside down. I don't think that it's going to be said of us as it was St. Paul and the missionaries and the apostles. These men have come hither that have turned the world upside down. That's not likely going to be our epithet. People are not likely going to say that about us, because God has maybe not given that and put it upon our plate to turn the world upside down over a few things. God is not asking us to do incredible things that we cannot do, but he says a few things. You've only been faithful over a few things. So the best that we could do and accomplish in our purpose for the kingdom of God is only a few things. Only a few things is what he's called us to do. And we cannot allow the devil to paralyze us with fear. For God's people, listen, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Now, there are times that we all get a little feared. I do. David got afraid. You know, when Uzzah touched the ark and died, it said David was afraid of God that day. There are things that happen sometimes. We get a little feared, and then we have to get up and go on. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Sanctified common sense to know how to make decisions that are pleasing to God, that'll help us in our stewardship for him. A sound mind. Sanctified common sense. We can make decisions because God has given us a sound mind and power. He don't want us to be paralyzed with fear. And when the Satan comes upon us to fear, get thee behind me, Satan, and read this scripture. Read the word of God. Jesus answered Satan's temptation with the word of God. And Satan comes by to tempt you and to throw fear upon us. Read this. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Get thee behind me. That is the word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Be acquainted with the word of God. In closing today, don't be paralyzed. Don't follow the example of the man who was afraid. He only had one. He didn't have as much to decide about as the others. But petrified, paralyzed by fear, he done absolutely nothing. I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast that is thine. I was afraid. I was paralyzed by fear. Here's what he's saying. And I couldn't make a decision, so I just dug a hole and buried it. And essentially done nothing. And that's the story of my life. And the ending is not good for him. Take what he has from him. And he's called a wicked and slothful servant. Cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And we're going to close out. Brother Danny will come on and read you one more scripture. It has to do about fear. Now, there are times we get things. We're still in the flesh. And we're going to be affected by fear sometimes, but we have to rise above fear. We have been given the spirit of power, not of fear. The book of Revelation says, Revelation 21 and 8, it says, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, and the murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars, shall have their part in the lake that which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And right up front of that list is the fearful, the people who were paralyzed by fear, done nothing. Afraid to come to Christ, afraid to do anything with their lives. Bad stewardship. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithfulness. Faithfulness. Do not be paralyzed by fear. Fear not, little flock. It is my Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. Okay, let's stand together. If you're here today and you have been paralyzed by fear, I'm not talking about just a little fright now and then and some fear, but paralyzed by fear to the point that it's causing you to do nothing. You need to rise above it. You need to come and ask Jesus to reveal in you the power to overcome the paralyzation of fear. We need to move beyond fear. God will give you the sanctified common sense to make decisions. And if you made a bad one or two, you have to rise up. Don't quit. Have the courage to be a good steward and to seek God's guidance, and you can make some good decisions in your life. A sound mind, sanctified common sense. Don't be afraid to make decisions. The greatest decision you'll ever make is to follow Jesus Christ, to come and to give your heart to Him. And then if we're saved, we need to be good stewards. Make decisions, sometimes they're tough, but take some chances for Jesus. If there's anyone here today has a need, you need to be saved, you need to come to pray about having courage to make decisions, we're going to ask you to come. We'll pray with you here today as we sing. Here's who you feel is under spiritual attack. Come and pray for them. Whatever your need is, we're going to ask you to come today and to pray about it. Brother Danny.